Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 13. Revelation, chapter number 13. The title of the message tonight is The Mark of the Beast. We've been studying about the tribulation. We believe that the tribulation starts just after chapter number 6 and goes into clear through the book of Revelation, I guess. Maybe I should say chapter number 4. Yes. Chapter number 4, pardon me. Yes, my mind is not working quite like it should, maybe. And my wife's telling me I need to get to finish hooking this up, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mama. Amen. Boy, it's good in your old age to have a young woman taking care of you. Amen. Revelation chapter number 13. We noted that in chapter 4, come up hither. That's where we believe that the rapture takes place and we're caught out of here. And then the tribulation begins, and it kind of starts off kind of slow. And the man of peace comes, and he speaks peace and one thing or another, and ends up then at the halfway mark of the tribulation, which chapter 13 is. He breaks his promises, and of course the devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. We can't expect him to do anything else but that. And so we come to this part where he actually introduces himself. He's going to establish himself later on the throne of David in the new built temple, and declare that he himself is God. And he won't be the first person that's done that, but I assure you he will be the last. Amen. And so as we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, I want to mention that there's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of, I think, misinformation about the mark of the beast, and we'll mention some of those things. I believe this about this book. I believe sometimes we're so worried about what we don't understand that we don't do correctly what we do understand. And that can be a very, very large problem. And so let's stick with what we know, what God tells us, and then we'll see where we go from there. Verse number 16 of chapter 13, the Bible says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, who receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666." And I trust God will add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight, and then help me as I try to work down through some of these things. First off, I mentioned that there's a lot of speculation as to what this means and what it is, and the number 666 has had a terrifying effect on a lot of people for a long time. I've heard, I haven't personally seen this, I have seen people get close to 666 on a cash register thing or a printed out receipt, and they'll say, "Whoo, boy, I'm glad I didn't stop there." But I've actually heard about cash register slips coming down to 666 and the people saying, no, and they put something back and have it subtracted or add something to it because they don't want to leave with that ticket saying 666. Well, that number is not going to hurt you. That number, there's no death in that number. It's the number, it's the man that number belongs to is what needs to scare you. And so there's a lot of misinformation going on about it. In our study, we're going to learn all that we can, probably not all that we'd like to know. I don't think God is in the business of just answering our questions so that we can gloat. In fact, we know something. But if we're not using what we do know, why would God inform us with anything else? And so we need to understand where to be busy with the Lord. And I think if we walk in the light, as the Lord is in the light, he'll keep us busy and he'll bless us and he'll inform us with things as we go along. And one thing I want to make it plain and clear, though, before we begin the message tonight, really, is that if you're saved, that means if you've ever been saved. Because if you ever have been saved, you are saved. Now, I believe that there are many people who believe that they're saved. They've gone through some religious worship service, some religious activity, some token things. They've done something that they thought merited them salvation. I talked to a man today, and, asked him, do you know if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? And he said, well, I'd like to think so. And I said, how would you like to know so? He said, well, that's kind of where I'm at. I kind of know so. And I said, how would you like to absolutely know so? Well, then I think his phone rang and he got saved by the bell, but we can know that we're saved. God wants us to know our relationship with him, because in knowing our relationship with him, we know our relationship as far as the tribulation goes and the mark of the beast and all those things. And so if you ever have been saved, truly saved, that means you came as a lost sinner and you dealt with the Lord Jesus, believing that he died for you, he shed his blood for you as if you had been the only sinner that had ever lived. He shed his blood for you, just like he did for me, and then he was buried. And 72 hours later, he came up victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and he ever lives today to make intercession for us. And when we put our faith in those simple truths and ask him to, Jesus saves us once for all, forever. And the term that we use around here a lot is God gives us eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. And somebody says, well, how long can a person be saved? Well, how long is forever? How long is eternal? We need to understand that's what we receive when we trust Jesus as our Savior. And so once you're saved forever. And once you're saved, you don't have to worry about someone giving you the mark of the beast. It won't happen. I have dealt recently with a young man who was very discouraged because he thought that maybe the vaccine had something to do with the mark of the beast. He said, if I get the vaccine, can I still go to heaven? I said, you may go there sooner. Right. Amen. And that's what I said to him, Mama. That's what I said to him. Amen. So we need to understand that listen, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. The Bible says, uses the phrase here, says, here is wisdom. And let me say this with much love and understanding. There is not wisdom in a lot of the decisions that we make today. And we sometimes believe all that we're told, and we don't study it out. We don't search these things out, whether they're so, and we get our business in a jam that way. But once you're saved forever. And once you're saved, you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. It can't hurt you. It can't catch you. It can't get you. It's not hiding under your bed. It's not in the closet when you come home late at night. It's not going to be beside the road when you break down at night because you're driving one of those cars that breaks down all the time. But we need to understand that it's a real deal for the people that we know who are not saved and are facing an eternity in hell, even if they make it clear through the tribulation period of time. So we need to understand that. So please understand, as we talk about the mark of the beast, we're talking about that mark, whatever it is, that mark of the beast that will be given to those people who have rejected or neglected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about this, in verse number 16, the Bible tells us it is a mark of identification. It identifies. And we have a lot of things to identify. We have zip codes to identify. I may have told this before, but one time we received a letter, well, actually several times, postage going to Austria, would go down through Australia and then back up. And so I wrote the postmaster in Denver and told him, I said, I was told the purpose of having zip codes was because they're easier to read and harder to misunderstand when we're working with numbers than with letters. And so I guess it's still too hard to understand, so maybe we need to work with pictures. And we'll have a mountain scene for Austria and a kangaroo for Australia. And he actually wrote back and said, that's probably a good idea, but I can't see the government doing that. So anyway, we need to understand that we have a mark of identification here in the mark of the beast. And of course, there's a lot of people guessing what that mark is. How many of you have heard that it's a barcode? You know that barcode when you check out your own groceries, or that person at the grocery store checks out your groceries, they put a bloop, bloop, bloop. Every time the thing goes bloop, my pocketbook hurts. Amen. And so, but that's it's using that scan code that's on that product that you're buying. And some people think that that's what it is. And it might be. It might be. And then, of course, if it's in your hand or in your head, I guess you'd have to go. Well, anyway, yes, amen. And then some people think it's an invisible tattoo, that it actually is permanent. It won't wash off. If you cut it off, it would leave a bad scar and so forth. And so it's an invisible tattoo, visible only under certain types of light. Some people think it's a microchip. And you hear people talking about microchipping people. The dog that I have that I think a lot of, my dog is microchipped. I did not microchip her. The people that owned her before I did microchipped her. And probably if she got lost, the people we got her from would probably get the phone call if someone scanned her. And that's about the size of a piece of rice. And some people think that that's a microchip that they're going to be putting into people. Now, people today can be identified very quickly by a number of things that we already have. One of the things would be fingerprints. It doesn't take very long to a police officer can send a fingerprint from his car right into the office, and he can get a copy back as to who those fingerprints belong to. And then, of course, there's the retina. How many of you have actually had your retina used as identification? A couple. I never have had that. It's never happened to me, but I understand that it's painless. I would be kind of reluctant to put my eye up or something that I didn't know what was going to happen for sure, but I guess that works, and it's another way of identifying people. DNA is another thing. Recently, we've seen people that have been in prison for years have been released because DNA has shown that they weren't guilty. And others who have been free for years are now locked up because their DNA proved that they were guilty. And so there's just a lot of things. And then we think about cash being replaced by credit cards. That's happening all the time. And Bitcoin, you had a big fraud going on with Bitcoin and all those kinds of things, those digital coins. We're headed for a cashless society. And some of these things have slowed it down a little bit, but that's where we're headed. And that'll make it easier for the Antichrist when he starts putting up this thing about you have to have a chip. People will already be programmed. People will already be ready. People will be very accepting of it, except those people who have received Christ during the tribulation. Yeah. Now, remember, if you've heard the gospel and you go into the tribulation, you'll never be bothered by the Holy Spirit again. And if you're not drawn by the Holy Spirit, you'll never be saved. Right. And so we need to understand that you're playing the most dangerous game of Russian roulette that anybody ever played, when you know you're lost and yet you put off being saved and think, I'll do it at another time, I'll do it some other time, some other place, but not right now. And so we need to understand that. There'll be a multitude of people that will take this sign, whatever it is, and they'll run with it. They'll be excited about it because it opens doors for a lot of things. Now, I mentioned the fraud that we've seen lately. I think that's going to kind of slow things down. You know, when things get to running too fast and they get ahead of God's schedule, all he has to do is throw a little salt on it. He turn a little light on it, and it seems like it changes things. And so praise the Lord for that. Now, the reason that they're talking about a cashless society today, two major reasons. Number one, they said it will hinder drug sales because you'll have to, Uncle Sam will know every dime that you spend for everything unless you barter. You can barter for a while, but even my garage only has so much stuff in it. And then you run out of things to barter with. Unless you're going to barter with what you bartered with, bartered for. But they say it will help with the matter of drugs and all those kinds of things. And then it will hinder the drug people, but it will help the IRS. So those 87,000 new IRS agents that are being hired, they'll get help from our going into a cashless society. And then, of course, when you stop and think about it, we're already living today in a society that recognizes us as a number more than a name. They don't ask you for they'll ask you for your name, but sooner or later they're going to get around to ask you for your social security number or whatever to identify who you are, depending on what you're wanting to do and so forth. So the stage is set. I heard of a census taker was down south somewhere. He knocked on a door, and a mother answered the door, and he began to question her for the census and said, "I need to know the number of your children." She said, "We don't go by numbers here. We go by names." And she said, "No." He said, "No, I just need to know the number." She said, "We don't go by numbers. We go by names. My first son is named Austin." She said, "Well, I just want to know the number." He wanted to know how many children she had. And I guess he wasn't smart enough to ask it that way, and she didn't understand. But she knew this. She said, "We don't go by numbers. We go by names." And that's the way it ought to be. I appreciate somebody that would do that. And so the stage is set, and people are programmed to accept some system of public ID. Two thoughts on that. The rush of people coming over the south border is not just political, it's biblical. Because I believe that God is going to use that to slow things down. You say, "Well, how would he do that?" Because there's a number of people now that are saying, in order to get any kind of help from the government, you have to have a government ID. You can't get any welfare, you can't get any checks, you can't have this, you can't have that without an ID. And then somebody else said, "And we can use that for a voter's ID." And someone else says, "Oh, nope, that's a bad idea. We don't want to do that." And so they keep coming, and no one's IDing anybody, and no one's got any ID about what's happening. So they're programming us that way. And then, of course, I think it slows things down just a little bit. God has a timetable, and God's working on that timetable. So let's look for some certain things. What can we know for certain about this situation that we just read about? Number one, we can know the scope of the mark. How many people are going to receive the mark? Well, the Bible says in verse number 16, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Now that word causes means to force. They're not going to be very polite about it. They're going to force people to take this mark. And the Bible says that it doesn't matter if, what is the line there? It says small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Talk about all people, all, both great and small. That's who they're going to force to take it. All people of all groups. And sooner or later, everyone's going to take it, or they're going to die because they didn't. And we need to understand that. And so it's all people, all groups, local, state, federal, international, and universal. All these groups of people are going to be forced to take this. So we see the scope of it. And then we see the situation of this mark. The Bible says it's in their right hand or in their forehead. And the word mark there means stamped, imprinted, something that's carved. And then I found one definition that said that a brand might suffice for that. And I would imagine that some people would probably cringe about getting branded. They would find that insulting, but this beast is not going to worry about insulting people. I mean, he's already insulting God. I mean, if you have the capacity and the audacity to insult God, you're not going to care about what the fine lady in all of her finery is going to say about getting branded or marked in some way. It's just going to happen. So whatever the mark is, it will be in the flesh, either in the forehead, the Bible says, or in the right hand, the Bible says, and it will be there forever. It's going to remain as a thing as long as they live. And it won't be able to be altered, nor will it be able to be counterfeited. And so I don't know exactly how all that's going to happen, but I thank God on a regular basis that it's not going to happen to me. And let me just say why I say that. That's not a proud statement. I think it's a humble statement, because I'm not relying on anything I've done to prevent this happening to me. I'm relying on what Jesus did to keep this from happening to me. And so I'm so grateful for his help in my life. And then we see the source of the mark. In verse number 17, the Bible says that no man... verse 16, and he shall... he causes all, both. So this he, I believe, is the false prophet that we've read about before. And he's the one that causes the world to worship the beast. You look back in verse number 4 of chapter 13. The Bible says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her as soon as her child was born. I wrote down the wrong reference. Oh, I'm in chapter 12, no wonder. Verse 4 of chapter 13. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And so we find that this, the one that's doing this is the one who caused the worship of the beast. And he's one in verse number 15, he's the one who causes the beast to speak. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so the power behind this is the Antichrist. It's the false prophet. He's one that's causing people to do this, and he's going to be the leader of the world religion. You know, people think that it's just kind of nice that all these churches that broke up at one time now are starting to come back together, and they're uniting. And forget about doctrine, let's just get back together. Let's just all, everybody get along, don't get upset about anything, and let's just be sweet and spicy and everything nicey, and we'll just have a good time. That's not the best thing that could happen to the world. How can two walk together, or can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer to that's no. No. Somebody has to back up on something that they said they believed before two people who disagree can walk together. And so we see it's a mark of identification. It identifies people that are lost. It identifies people who want to survive. It identifies people all over the world. It's a great mark of identification. And then secondly, it's a mark of isolation. It's a mark of isolation. This mark will be tied to the economy. Of course, sooner or later, you know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the economy is going to come into play here. And in verse number 17, it says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, that causes some pictures to come to my mind as I think about the great incentive that would be. So many people would fall for that, would go for that, because it's gonna control the world. And think about this: if you go to the bank and you take your card out of your bank card out, and you put it in the machine, you tell it how many dollars you want to have out, and it says please scan, please enter, please however you present this new card, present this. Your old card's no good. And so you walk out, you were supposed to do this, or something else today with that money, and you can't get it out because you don't have the mark. Well, it wouldn't be very long before people would start saying, wherever that mark is and whatever it is, I need to get it. And so it's going to be an easy sell. And then credit, you go in and you sit down and talk to the banker about borrowing some money. You want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, you want to whatever. And you sit down and you talk to him for a little bit, and he says, well, let's see your mark. Where's your mark? I don't know if it's going to be evident in the face, evident in the hand, seeable. I'm not sure about that. But I know there'll be a way that a banker could see it before he'd issue you any credit. How about the man that goes to work and he's got a family to feed? So he goes to work and his boss says, well, we've changed this a little bit since you worked for us last time. Now you have to have this international mark, or we can't hire you. And if we hired you, we couldn't pay you. And if we paid you, you couldn't spend the money. And so you have to have this mark. And then going to the grocery store. You go to the grocery store and you have to have a mark. I can imagine how many times a young mother is going to go to the grocery store and she's going to say, I need to get some formula. And she goes to where the formula is at, and there's lots of formula for a change. That hasn't happened for a while. And she gathers up all that she thinks she needs and can pay for it. She goes to the cash register to pay for it. Her baby's waiting for the formula. And they say, no, not without a mark. Not without a mark. It's going to control the world. You go to the gas station, and you can't buy gas without a mark. And so it's absolutely going to be controlled by, or control the environment and the economy. It's just one of those things that's just absolutely going to happen. And then it's going to produce two camps of peoples immediately. Now there'll be some a little slower to change and so forth, but eventually there's going to be two camps, and it's going to be those who have the mark and those who do not have the mark. And the ones that do not have the mark are going to be people who have trusted Christ, and they're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day that God wants to take them on home. And of course, then the other group's the ones that have the mark. And so those with the mark, they're worshiping the beast. They're able to buy. They're able to sell. It seems like everything's okay with them. And then those that without the mark, they worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're isolated from commerce. So, you might be like Nebuchadnezzar, eat grass, dig up with your nails and find something to eat that way. But that's short-lived. That's short-lived, and that's tough living too. So, and then we see not only the power of the isolation, but we see the purpose of the isolation, and we see that more and more and more. And to be real honest with you, I just get more than a little bit upset when people don't question at all, no question asked, as to why the government is trying to control this people as much as they are. It troubles me. It bothers me. Now you can stand on the street and cuss out the preacher man or the policeman, but you can't stand on the same street corner and talk about the Lord Jesus without getting ridiculed and maybe even harassed, and then you being blamed for the harassment, and away you go. I was on the street one time in Colorado Springs preaching with another man, and a police officer by the name of Lacey, which was a cousin to our brother Al Lacey, and he heard me preach it on the street, and he came up and said, "You can't do that here." And I said, "Your name's Lacey. You know Al Lacey?" He says, "Yeah, I know him." And he said, "You still can't do that." And so I said, "Well, I thought this was a free country, as long as I'm not blocking the sidewalk, as long as I'm not hindering people." And finally he said, "Do what you want to do," and he left. But today I don't think he'd walk off. I think he'd call some friends and say, "This man's causing trouble, get him out of here." We're living in a time when control is the word. And that's what the bottom word is here, is absolutely control. Medicine will be controlled. Medical services will be controlled. It's not going to be much to control if they keep dropping off like they've been dropping off. Or what are the rooms where you go, the emergency room? The emergency room overflowing, and people there that frankly ought to be in jail instead of in there, and they can't take care of people that's really sick. And so that's gonna be affected. Food, we mentioned the hospital a while ago, or the grocery store a while ago. We mentioned housing. Think about that. No, you can't pay your rent. You have to do that through a bank system of some sort, and so you can't pay your rent, can't pay your house payment without a mark. And it's going to give instant power and almost instant formation of any rebellion. People will gain power, they'll gain strength, and anybody who rebels will be informed upon. I have no doubt that they'll be giving rewards for people. If you turn in your neighbor, he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing, to give a reward for turning him in, and you find out he's not licensed like a dog, he doesn't have the mark of the beast, you turn him in, you get a reward for it. I have no doubt that'll happen. Now, that's some of that supposition that I said we need to be careful about, so I need to stop there. And then, of course, I remember when we were in Romania, and we saw there, you didn't have to have a card, but you just had to stand in line, sometimes for days and days and days, for a loaf of bread. Go into a grocery store, and there'd be pallets and pallets of two-liter bottles of olive oil. Go into another one, there might be stacks and stacks and stacks of tissue paper. It was crazy. People would stand in line all day long, get up to that window about this big, people lined back there 4 or 5 blocks, and you work your way up, and just as you get there, the window is shut. We're out, come back tomorrow. And so they were sleeping on the street, not because they were homeless, but because they wanted to be in line. Things like that will be a regular thing when the mark of the beast is passed out. And then the persecution of this isolation, literally suffering for Jesus. I doubt tonight, really, of those of us who are here, if we have ever really paid any kind of a high price for living for the Lord Jesus. Oh, we might have had someone slam the door in our face. We might have had someone turn around and walk off when we tried to talk to them. We might have had someone curse us or be belligerent to us or something when we tried to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a different situation here. This is going to be people suffering for the Lord Jesus, and they're going to do it in a very big way. And so we need to warn people, talk to people, encourage people, counsel people, share the scriptures with people. We need to do those things. And of course, those that are isolated, those that are serving, remember in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, it tells us about the 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're sealed. And of course, they won't take this mark. And so you know they're going to be persecuted. And then in the same chapter, in verse number 9, there's a multitude that no man could number. They were saved out of the tribulation. Of course, they're in heaven, but before they get there, they're going to suffer plenty, and all these are going to be persecuted. And so the purpose of the isolation is for control and just making people miserable. Somebody, and I tell people this all the time, somebody, somewhere, sometime has to run this. Some one person has to run the whole ball of wax. Run everything. New York, Moscow, London, Paris, it doesn't matter. He's going to be in charge of everything. And he's going to do it because he has the control. And then, of course, there's the mark of identification, or of information. There's a mark of identification. Then there's a mark of isolation. Then there's a mark of information. And that reveals the name of the beast, and the mark will lead to the number of his name. And there's a lot of suggestions over who that would be. Fact is, you can almost tell how people vote by the names they suggest that might be the Antichrist. And let me just say this, no one today on earth knows who the Antichrist is going to be. Everybody's guess is as good as the next guy's guess. Nobody knows who it is. Oh, somebody might guess, and eventually they might be right, but it's just because they guessed properly. I passed a lot of tests by guessing. Didn't know the material, just guessed. And that's what they would be doing. But think of some of these names. Hitler. Why would they think of Hitler as being the Antichrist? Well, he was wicked. He was certainly a son of the devil. And some people thought he was devil incarnate. And then just after him is a fellow by the name of Bill Clinton. Who's Bill Clinton? Seems like I've heard that name. And then the name Bush was named. And the name Kennedy was named. How about this? The Pope of Rome has been named. The position, not necessarily that person, but the position has been named. And I think there's one piece of evidence that we have here. Look at verse number 14 of chapter 13. I think that's the right one. Yes. Verse 14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Well, Hitler didn't die by a sword. Bill Clinton is still alive, so we don't know how he's going to die. But don't know who will have the sword when he dies. We have no idea about that. Mr. Bush is still alive, and Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy does have a head wound, doesn't he? He sure did. But that's not a sword. He wasn't killed with a sword. But in Romans chapter 13, when the Bible says, speaking about honoring government, it says he doesn't carry his sword. I believe it is. Let me find that. Romans 13. Is that what it is? He doesn't carry the sword in vain. But we say, well, that today that would be a gun. Not a sword. It would be a gun today that the police officer has. Well, maybe what was a sword wound here, I don't know. I don't know. And the difference between me and some other people is I'll tell you I don't know. I don't know. And then a fact that we know is that nobody knows yet. Nobody knows yet. They're blowing smoke when they tell you they know who it is. And then there's people who use a system. It's called gematria, or gematria, G-E-M-A-T-E-R-I-A. And it's where you take your alphabet and you assign a number for every letter of the alphabet, and then you write letters and stuff that way, and kids do it in school, and teachers don't usually catch on until about the third week, and then you're in trouble. The Pope has on his tiara, whatever they call that crown that he wears, around the front of it, it says, Vicarius Filii Dei. Roughly, it means God's representative on earth. If you take this gematria and you assign the letters just almost identical to Roman numerals, you can get that to come up 666. But you have to make a U, a V, and you have to change this to that. And so when you're doing that, you're making stuff up. You're assigning things that aren't so. Now, he might end up having something to do with it. I'm not sure, but we need to be fair about it anyway. We need to be fair about it. And we ought to just trust and do what's right and wait and see what comes up. See what happens. And then when he's revealed, when the Antichrist is revealed, there won't be anybody on earth that doubts it, and we'll be in heaven and we won't doubt it then either. So it's important. And then it reveals the nature of the beast, and we're told that his number is 666. Now, six is the number of man in the scriptures. Man was made on the sixth day. Six is the number just short of seven. Seven is perfection. Six, no matter how good a man is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so man cannot be a perfect man. Nebuchadnezzar's statue was, in Daniel chapter 3, was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. 6 and 6. And then Goliath, the Superman, 6 cubits in a span high, and the head of his spear was 600 shekels. And so the Antichrist will be the pinnacle of human achievement, but he'll never match God. And let me tell you tonight for sure, he that is in you is more powerful. He that is in you is stronger than he that's in the world. We need to believe that tonight. And then I think there's two takeaways, and we'll be finished for tonight. Two takeaways. First off, the devil always marks his people. Now mark it down. Today, the devil marks his people. You see a man walking down the street, and he's inebriated. I talked to a man today. He said, I had to call the police on a man the other day because he was walking in and out of traffic on 301 coming through Waldorf. He said, I just knew he was going to get run over before the police got there. But the devil marks people. The devil marks people. You see people that have got all kinds of tattoos all over their face and up into their hair and down their arms. I'm not saying they can't get saved. Bless God, they need to get saved. But I am saying the devil marks his people. And we need to understand that he does. And then, of course, not just tattoos and stuff, but nails and piercings and all those other things. The devil marks his people, tattoos and cuttings and scarrings, all those things. And the Lord seals his people. The devil marks and the Lord seals. And here's a couple of verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And so once we get saved, we're sealed. We're sealed. And what a wonderful thing that is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then, because it's real close, drop back over to chapter 7 of Revelation, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 2. And the Bible says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, or to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and that were they that were sealed were 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And so God always seals his people, and the devil marks his people. It's quite a difference, complete difference. One of them's visible and one of them's invisible, I guess. And then here's the second thing we need to take away from the message tonight. Who do you know that needs to have a valid verbal witness, actually a witness with life and a witness with lips? Sometimes I think we as God's people, we say, well, I'm letting my light shine. But who's getting the glory for your light shining? So people think you're a good person. Wonderful. You know they can. You know people can die and go to hell thinking you're the greatest person that ever walked down the road. They can still die and go to hell. And we need to understand that. And so we need to let our life and our light shine, yes. But we need to tell people, there was a time when it was not so. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And it doesn't matter how big or how little of a sinner you were. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our friends, our family, our loved ones, people that meet us on the street need to know that we know that the difference between us and them is Jesus Christ. It's not us. It's not something we stirred up or messed up or drove up or pulled up, but it's the Lord Jesus. And we need to understand those things. We need to understand that there's somebody. And you say, well, how do you know, Brother Sutton, that there's someone who needs my witness? Because you're still here. If God was through, if you'd already done everything God wanted you to do, he'd just kiss you and take you to glory. But you're here. You're here to witness for Christ Jesus with your lips and with your life. And somebody that we know and love will end up being in this group of people, if they survive all the millions of people that are killed after the rapture, if they survive all those things, they'll be here and they'll have to take the mark of the beast because they've already heard the word of God, because they've already been spoken to by the word of God. We need to be a faithful witness. We need to be. We must be, or we ought not to sleep tonight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Heads are bowed.